Well, amen. So this morning we're going to do something a little bit different. I know we have guests, but we're going to do something a little bit different. We're going to have three sermons this morning. Three, okay? And so we're going to have, we had our marriage conference. And really, I think it went great. I think it was a success from the beginning to the end. It really was. And praise God. You guys, right? All of you had a part in it through prayer and giving and participation and leadership. But you had a part in investing. Everybody say investing. Investing into the kingdom of God. And investing into marriages. And so that's awesome. We're very excited about it. So what we're going to do this morning is I'm going to call up several couples and to share for like 5, 6, 7.5 minutes, right? And share what they learned from the marriage conference and what stood out to them, because I believe that we can still be a blessing this morning. So I'm going to call up Stephen and Heather, and then after that, Ashley and Lindsay threw me off. Yeah, Ashley and Lindsay to come up and just share, 5 or 6 minutes, what God's put on their heart. And then Lynn and I are going to come up at the end, and then we're going to share something a little bit different, and we'll see how that goes. Amen? You guys ready? All right, Stephen and Heather, let's give them a hand. And I want to brag on them, too. Stephen and Heather took the leadership and spearheaded that, and they did a great job with it. A great job. Organization and leadership and extra effort. And so the ministry, the mission field of the marriage conference, these guys did it. I mean, it's great. So you guys share?
All right, thank you.
All right, so one of the things that I learned was, and we talk about this, like, we have young kids. We have an almost 4-year-old, and then we have a 2-year-old. And they talk about the 80-20 rule. 80% of the time, do your normal stuff. 20% of the time is just watch TV and eat hot dogs in front of the TV type of stuff. And you hear about that with kids, but then applying that to our marriage, that if 80% of the time, filter this through, I'm a raging perfectionist. So it's uncomfortable for me. If 80% of the time your marriage is good and 20% of the time it's a little rocky, that's a really good marriage. And that's okay, that I don't need to nitpick every little thing that he does. I don't need to nitpick every little bump in the road of our marriage. That if it's 80-20, it's a really good marriage. So learning that I can officially calm down a little bit about that.
And one thing that stood out to me was in one of the videos, they talked about being able to decode your spouse's messages. There's been times when, I might do something that caused Heather to act disrespectful to me, or sometimes it feels like it's out of the blue. And my natural tendency is to, want to react to that. I want to, lash back out and be like, I can't believe you're acting like this to me. I can't believe you're doing this. Why would you be so hurtful? And in that video, they were talking about you need to learn how to decode that. A lot of times, the reason why they're acting the way they're acting is some hurt, some issue that they're dealing with, or something that you did that caused them to feel unloved. So instead of reacting to that, trying to dig deeper and figure out, talking to Heather and be like, hey, is everything okay? There could have been something with the kids that day that just completely, ticked her off, or they were just misbehaving, something else going on in her life that I'm not aware of, and then she's reacting to that, and, I might be getting that, but instead of, being defensive and wanting to lash back out into where we just start getting into a fight, actually taking a step back like, hey, what's going on? 1 Corinthians 13, 4 and 5 says, love is patient and kind. It is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. And then it says it's not irritable. So that just kind of stuck out to me. Like, if she's doing something and I'm feeling disrespected, feeling irritated, that like, okay, if I really love her, let me take a step back, try to decode and figure out what's really going on underneath
My other takeaway from the weekend actually happened in our small groups. We broke out into three small groups, and there were, including us, four couples in our small group that had all been married between 5.5 and 6.5 years. So we were all like right there at the same stage of toddlers, preschoolers, just same stage of marriage, stage of kids. And so it was awesome to not feel like we were all kind of struggling with a lot of the same things. And one of the things that was hard for a lot of us, especially the women, I know it's hard for me, was giving my husband the best of me, even at the end of the day when he walks in from work, to not just immediately be like, take the kids outside, like, and get them out of here, you know, but to stop and say hi and to show that I'm excited to see him and like that I actually do still like him at the end of the day, especially because he works from home. So around each other, like I'm a stay-at-home mom, like it's all the time. So to take a minute and to just say hi and to be happy that he's home and then ask him to take my kids outside.
All right, the last thing I'm going to say, another thing that kind of stuck out to me in one of the videos was that a lot of times, you know, husbands and wives might find themselves getting into this crazy cycle where they're just arguing and fighting. Sometimes just happens when, you know, I might do something unintentionally unloving to her. You know, I find that, you know, yeah, I can relate to that. Oftentimes I'll wake up in the morning, I'm feeling great, ready to tackle the day, things are going good, I'm feeling like things are going great in our marriage. And then the next thing I know, you know, either later on that day or something happens, she comes to me and says, hey, I was hurt. You did this. I felt unloved. And, you know, and then my reaction is to be defensive and be like, whoa, 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 what's going on? Like, what did I do? And, you know, I want to kind of argue with her. And, you know, we start this fight because I wasn't trying to be intentionally unloving to you. You know, this was not on the schedule for today. I didn't plan this. Like, what's going on here? And you know, what I learned in that video is like, hey, you know, if I'm being unloving to her, it doesn't matter whether it was intentional or unintentional. The key thing is she felt unloved by something that I did. So I need to listen to her and, you know, figure out what it was and what can I do to improve and talk with that. And then I also started thinking about like, okay, I might not have been unintentionally unloving to her, but was I intentionally trying to be loving to her that day? And that's when I found out, you know, a lot of times, you know, I just wake up, just want to kind of do my own thing. I'm not actually really thinking about her. And that's what she feels unloved, you know, because she wasn't even on my mind. So that just kind of really hit me hard. Every day I need to be waking up thinking, okay, what can I do to serve my spouse? What can I do to love her? And that way that would keep us from getting into these crazy cycles. All right. Thank you.
I tell you what, we really enjoyed this weekend, and we didn't know what to expect. We've never been to a marriage conference or anything like that, so this is, you know, little, you know, just we didn't know what to expect. And starting out from the first night, it was like with Glenn and Melissa, it's just amazing how like God is just so good. I mean, he just like touched their lives, touched their marriage. And now you just look at them like right now and it just makes you just, I mean, they're a couple you can look up to. And we just really appreciate you guys. And
yeah, their testimony when they, one thing that they, that stood out to me is how they said that God literally resurrected their marriage from the dead. And so there's no marriage that's too far gone. And then they just went through all of the various things that they went through. And we knew them after all that happened. So it's like, wow, God really, because we've always known them. Like, they just seem like best friends and just their whole family is so close. And I feel like that trickles down. Like, you see that closeness in your family and it starts with the marriage. And I think, you know, Satan would love to attack that connection in your marriage. And then when you've got the stress between husband and wife, it trickles down into children and generations. So of course that's where the attack's going to be. And so this marriage, it was good to just like see just subtle ways and nuances that you can miss each other and you think you're, because it was, it's called the crazy cycle. So basically, a man wants to feel respected, and a woman, her biggest need is to feel loved. And so we may be loving each other the way that I want to be loved, or, and we're missing each other. So I thought that was interesting. So,
yeah. No, it's kind of interesting. Like with Lindsay and I, we've been married 18 years. And, you know, before you get married, you go through marital counseling and all that. And, we're pretty much opposites. But they said, you know, we went through this, all this stuff, and they said, but our faith and our love for God is there. So, but like we miss each other, you know, what we miss, like communication and stuff like that. And so, so weekends like this helps. And it's just like the camaraderie we had yesterday. I was a little nervous about, because we facilitated a group and I was a little nervous because, like, we love each other with our whole heart and everything, but we're not perfect, you know? So I was like, you know, it's kind of, you know, weird, you know, going in there. And, but it wasn't like that at all. Like, we were like, everybody really, like, you know, talked. I was nervous, like, this can be an awkward day if nobody talks, you know? but everybody.
We didn't want to have to teach a marriage conference. We needed input from everybody else.
But it was like, it was pretty neat with just like, everybody talked, everybody kind of learned a little bit from each other, and, we really enjoyed it, and it seemed like, you know, and that's what we need is community with all of us to be able to strengthen each other, because we're all going through the same things. We're all on the same journey, but sometimes we isolate ourselves, and it's just like we need help. But the whole thing, I think, was really good, and it really touched our lives, and just hopefully it'll kind of bring our, you know, different couples and stuff together to be able to help and just so. So, thank you, guys.
Well, our turn. You guys did great, didn't they? I mean, really, it was really, really good. Man, my sheet note there. So that's awesome. So for you guys know this, my wife Lynn, my bride, for 39 years, yep. So we're excited, and we loved the marriage conference, and we will definitely pray about whether we want to do it again next year. We'll pray about it. I'd like to get with everybody in the leadership and do a little process time. See how, you know, what we learn, and the good, the bad, and the ugly. But that's cool. So what I want to do is we're going to tag team just like these guys did. I may, you know, talk a little bit more, but that's okay. But, you know, over the last about two weeks, we've been talking about marriage. And then last week, we talked about the love chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Stephen quoted some of it. That's awesome. But the very end, it talks about faith, hope, and love. And then the greatest is what? Love. So we're going to talk about that just for a minute. I'm going to take a little bit longer, so you guys buckle up, right? We are. I want to remind you of something. A lot of you guys read the book years ago called The Five Love Languages, right? You read that book, raise your hand. I mean, it was very popular, and it's still popular. So what I want to do, and I think I emailed this out or put it on Facebook a couple weeks ago, two or three weeks ago, I want you to go back and take the Five Love Languages test. Just type it in the internet, fivelovelanguages.com, something like that. Just do a search on it. It'll take you about 5 minutes. Go ahead and retest. Take it again. Take the little test. It'll give you an idea of your primary love language for you and your spouse. We did this a couple of weeks ago, remember? And ours changed. And it will change over the years. So I want to encourage you to go and take the test. Five love languages. So we're going to go through these five. I'm going to dust off some cobwebs, and we're going to talk about it a little bit. So the first one is words. Everybody say words. Words. Men, It's very important that you tell your wife you love her. Don't be that guy. Don't be that tough, old, hard-headed guy that says something, and I'll just say it, says something dumb, like, oh, she knows I love her. I get up and go to work all day and bring home the bacon or whatever crazy thing that tough men say. I've had men tell me, well, I told her I loved her on our wedding day, and that's good enough. Don't be like that. Women need to hear those words. Honey, I love you. You're beautiful. You look pretty today. Right? Those words are very, very important.
Words are important. As much as us women need to hear them, our husbands need to hear them, that we respect them, that we thank them for what they do for us. My husband works a full-time job and is a pastor of a church, so basically he has two full-time jobs. And I don't take that lightly. I always want to be thankful for that and remind him that I'm thankful for the sacrifice that he makes. And for him to know that I respect him is huge, because men need that. They love us and care for us, but we need to respect what they do for us. Sometimes, you know, I'll tell Dallas I love him, but there's so much more within those three words of what we've went through that day. And I could just look at him and say, I love you so much. And there's so much more meaning behind that. And I guess as we've been married enough years, we kind of sense that. But, you know, ladies, tell your husbands that you respect them and thank them for what they do for you.
Amen. Next one's time. Time together. Matter of fact, that's our primary love language. Mm-hmm. And it used to be something different. But now both of us, actually, it's time. It's time together. Spending time together. You know, we're okay. We don't have to work 80 hours a week, right? We don't have to work. It's great to work and take care of your family and pay our bills and function and live in this society. But if we've got our priorities mixed up and if we're just away from our family all the time, I just think that's not good. It's not healthy. You know, we need to be with each other. We need to be with our children. We need to see our children. We need to be with each other. It's very, very important. So that time with each other, make sure you're prioritizing your time and not working all the time or doing something away from the family all the time. It's really, really important.
And time together doesn't mean you have to go on a trip or go on a vacation or go to an amusement park or to the beach. Time is spending time with him, whether we're in the living room just talking or whether we're walking down the beach holding hands, just being together. You don't have to add something else in there unless you want to, but the time factor is just being with your spouse and having that time set aside. It's so important. And for young married couples that have children, when we were growing up, my husband told our children, I want to date your mom. Because one day you're going to be grown up and gone on your own, but she's my wife. And so it's so important, you know, when you have that time together to spend time. When you have young children, find someone that can watch them and go out on a date and date your wife, date your husband. You know, don't forget to do that throughout your marriage.
And tell them, I'm going on a date. We're going on a date, you know. And they'll watch you, too.
They will.
They'll watch. So that time is very important. Especially with the children, too, you know. We used to take our kids up to the mountains in the fall and spend that quality time up there burning firewood and going up the Helen, you know, those Unicoi State Park and all those state parks up there. And today, our twin boys are 36 and our other son's 32. But when we get together, they always refer to, like, they will smell a campfire and they go, oh, that reminds me of Helen. Mm-hmm. You know, those small memories. We learned years ago from Dr. James Dobson, several books that he wrote years ago. Some of y'all probably remember those days. And but we learned that spending quality time, not necessarily the big things. Mm-hmm. You know, the big things are cool, but there's a whole bunch of little small things. It's really important. And they remember that. I mean, sure, they remember the Disney trip and the whatever, you know, the trip overseas. But it's those little things, man, that the kids really, really do remember. Next one is service.
No.
Service is service. That's love language, you know. What can you do? You know, remember, love is a what? Action word? It's a verb? So, you know, what can we do for each other? How can we look for ways to serve? Mm-hmm. I love what Stephen said about that, you know. How can we serve each other? What can we do? What can we do to go the extra mile and do little things for each other? I know that Lynn goes above and beyond doing different things and helping us and helping us with the church and helping in our household. And she goes way above and beyond helping me do things. I couldn't do a lot of things without her helping me, and that's that service work. You know, it's okay to wash the dishes, men, right? Not that that sounds kind of sexist there, I guess. Women's supposed to wash the dishes. I'll get myself in trouble. Sorry.
No, but it goes beyond that. An example of those, I had knee surgery and couldn't put no weight on my leg for 6 weeks. And he literally had to serve me and take care of me. But it was with love and compassion. It wasn't out of obligation. And so when you serve your spouse, you know, sometimes you can get caught up in the day-to-day things that are busy with life. But remember, you're going to be with them long after your kids are gone, hopefully. You know? And to serve them, you know, to be kind and loving to them. That's one thing I always pray, Lord, help me to be kind and loving. Because, you know, face it, we're not perfect. You know, we all have issues. But when you try to put that in front. Yeah. Okay, go ahead.
No, I was laughing because I'm going to tell them.
Okay.
This morning, right? This morning, right? We were getting ready and going to be here. I knew what we all had planned, and I knew we were going to share this. And something happened, and I asked. She was in the bathroom, you know, getting ready, and I asked her a question, and she said something. And I got frustrated, and I kicked at the door.
You did.
It's terrible, and I'm like, oh Jesus! I wasn't like. Mad, well, maybe a little bit. So I just like playfully like kick the door, you know, and it sounded a lot. It did sound a lot louder than it really was. But you know, I haven't done that in a long time, and I was like, where did that come from? And so you know, we had to apologize and work through that, and I'm sorry, and it was my fault, and but yeah, right?
Yeah, right.
We're good.
We're good.
It's too late now, right? No.
One thing we have always strived in our marriage is to be quick to forgive.
Yeah.
Whether it's your fault or not. And I know that sounds like, well, I didn't do it. In your marriage, you need to be quick to forgive and give grace. And if you go to them and say, I'm sorry for what happened, you're not admitting that you did something, but something happened and you can talk it out. But it's just like Lindsay said, the devil would want no more than to attack your marriage. And sometimes we get frustrated, but we have to zero back in and remember who we are and whose we are. Mm. And ask God to help us, you know?
Yeah, I was like, that's just not the devil trying to get under my skin. Yeah. Right here before we get up and talk about marriage and love and all that, he is a defeated foe, right?
That's right, he didn't win.
He is under our foot. Next one. One more. No, it was two more. Next one is touch. That's a love language, you know. Some people, you know, if they didn't get a lot of touch, a lot of hugs and, you know, that kind of thing, then they really, you know, that's their primary. And that was mine for a long time because I grew up in a crazy environment, crazy home, all that. Got a long, sad story. But I've never really had hugs, you know, and someone saying I love you or whatever, you know. But so that's when I met Lynn and her family. They were all touch and hug. Hey, come here, hug, hug, hug. Kind of made me freak out a little bit, but I finally got used to it and all the touchy-feely stuff. But when touch was a big one for mine, you know, just touching her arm, you know. Sometimes she'll sit on the couch and scratch my back, or I was kind of personal, but you know what I mean. Just that touch, you know. Men, you come in and, you know, give your wife a kiss on the cheek. Just that touch, a hug. I love what Mark said, you know, go straight. When you come home from work, go, men especially, you know, come home from work, go straight in, find your spouse, hey, you know, hey, whatever, give them a hug, how's your day, that kind of thing. And so touch is real, real, real important, you know.
It is important.
It's just a little pat on the back or something, you know.
Well, and like he said, I know he likes his back scratched. We've been married 39 years, and I've scratched his back almost every night, every day. But it's something that he likes. You know, just hang on and just go.
I know,
for
that's
ride.
Too personal.
No, it's not. But it's a love language, you know? And I just know that he likes that. So if you know your spouse likes something and it makes them feel loved, do that. It's your turn.
I gave her money to go get her toes did.
That's right. See how pretty they are?
All right, the last one. I hope you guys are getting something from this. But the last one is a new guy's. I usually do preach a message in a sermon, right?
So. Yeah.
You'd be like, I'm going to get my money back today. But anyway, so the last one's gifts. You know, gifts. And you know, you could say, well, gifts are not that important to me. Actually, when I did the love language test, I actually scored 0 on gifts. And it kind of helped me because at Christmas, you know, they're like, my boys and Lynn, what do you want for Christmas? I don't know. You say, I'm the hardest person to buy for because I don't really, any men like that, I don't want anything, don't need anything. Usually I'll say bass boat, yeah. You know, but, you know, that's out of the question. But gifts are just really not that important to me, you know. Sure, I like gifts, but, you know, it's interesting. With Lynn, I used to try to give her gifts, you know. Mm-hmm. So if you want to give gifts, you know, give a gift to your spouse on just the regular day. Not just Mother's Day, not just a birthday, not just the anniversary, right? To go and a different day and show gifts. Because your spouse's gifts might be important to them. I mean, folks that are raised very poor and, you know, there was not a lot of gifts in your home, and your gifts were like a pack of T-shirts and socks and some apples. I mean, really, right? If that was your Christmas gifts, you know, then gifts may be real important to you. That might be a sign of how someone can show love. Right?
Yeah, and, you know, sometimes women are more, well, I'll speak for myself, emotionally receptive to a gift than a man, because we like gifts and it makes us feel special that our husband took time, or, you know, boyfriend took time to think about what we would like and get that for us. Gifts used to be more important to me than some things, but the things have changed. You know, touch, service, or touch, words, and time are more important to me now than gifts, but I still like gifts. So. Yeah. But it's just, you know.
You take that Steel's coupon back?
No. You know, I have a birthday coming up, so. But it's just, you know, sometimes it just makes us special, feel special for no apparent reason that you got a gift, like Dallas said. So.
All right, good. Let's close it up. What do you have right here?
Nothing. That was my notes.
Oh, good. So, 5 love languages. Ask yourself, ask your spouse. Take the test. It'll help you. It'll break it down in numbers. How do you receive love? How do you give love? Right? Is it words, affirmation, encouragement, love you? Is it time? You want to spend time, quality time together? Acts of service? We're doing things for each other. Touch, hugs, kiss on the cheek. Whatever, touch, and then gifts. So ask yourself, you know, how does that work? Amen? All right, so everybody good? Everybody say amen?
Amen.
All right, so I got a special request, and then we're going to close. Ready? So if you're a married couple, I'd like to ask you to come down front. I'm not going to ask you to dance. For you guys that wasn't there, we actually did a slow dance in church. I thought I was going to be fired dancing in church. But it was special. It was, we did the little Ed Sheeran, is that his name? Mm-hmm. That word, that song called Perfect. And if your spouse is not here, you can still come down. I don't want to make anybody feel bad. So if you're hanging out, I'm sorry, but this is a special time for married couples. So bless you, you know, right? Adam, come on down. So anyway, so all right, here we go, right? All right, so hold your hand. I mean, hold your spouse's hand. If you can, if you can't, you know, hold someone's hand. All right, and so I want to pray for you. I want to pray for what most people call the priestly prayer. It's from Numbers, from the Old Testament. And so here we go. So let's all close our eyes, and I want to pray this for you. I'm going to read it out of Numbers chapter 6, verse 24, 25, and 26. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Peace that surpasses all understanding. Now, Father, I just lift up each one of these married couples. I lift them up to you. Lord, I ask that you will break any foothold that the enemy may have in their life. I speak blessings over them, even though I may not be their pastor this morning. I speak blessings over them. And Lord, I ask that you encourage each one to focus on you. And as we focus on you, I know that our marriage will improve. And then there's the practical side of applying the skills that we've learned. And Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you, guys. Amen. You may be seated.
Thank you.
Yes. Take my stuff up. Thank you. Amen. All right. Thank you, guys, for coming down. Was you scared I was going to make you dance? No? So, had an old wise preacher tell me one time when I was talking to him about me becoming a pastor. He gave me some words of wisdom. I won't share some of that right now because it's not a good time, but there's one thing he said. He says, anytime you have an audience with people, always, always cast a net. We are fishermen of men, right? So always cast a net, because if you don't cast a net, you just may not catch no fish. So as we do a song of invitation, I want to invite you. If you're here this morning, you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I'd like to give you that opportunity right now. So if you're here and you're a believer, this would be a good time for you to pray, right? So if there's one person, two, three people here today that's never got saved, and I'm not talking about joining the church or being religious or any of that stuff. I'm talking about a true encounter personally with Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. If you've never done that, when we start playing this, I'm going to come down, and if you'd like to come and talk to me, and I'd be glad to lead you in a prayer and introduce you to Jesus and get saved and be sure for sure that you're going to heaven. And if you'd also like to come down and talk to me about being baptized, man, I'm sure Mr. Jesse wouldn't mind firing that water back up again. Amen? All right, let's stand. Or, right. You can stand.